a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cuff, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Hey, Cudahy to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade, which means distant thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot, and my name of Instagram and Facebook is Robert Pilot, too. And it's been down all day, and now we're back up. And I don't know if that's a good thing or bad thing, but I got a lot of work done today, and it must be they must have something to do with each other. What do you think, Lewis?
Yeah, exactly, right? It's the productive, thing of the whole United States. The GDP went up today for some reason. It's everyone's on Facebook.
Exactly. Hey, so we discuss Native issues and all over Turtle Island. And as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. All right. Well, I guess no one's going to read Wendy's little thing there, but I think this is brought to you by Native Roots Radio, the coolest people I know. So, hey.
There we go. We'll take it.
Right. All right, we'll take that one. All right, hey, so we do the news here, and it's news you don't hear anywhere else, and we're going to start off right here with Ogama with the news. Welcome, Ogama.
Hey, Anibuju, everybody. So in news today, and I guess I'm going to call this Native news because us Native people really love Facebook. Facebook was down for about 5 hours today. They experienced a pretty significant drop in their stock, but then the national GDP went up. So a lot of people are talking about, looks like maybe it's gone back down again, too. It's kind of up and down here on Facebook. So hopefully if you're tuning in, you're listening to us live on the radio or on YouTube, because that's what's working right now. But there's a lot of speculation going on right now because there was an expose, I guess, that aired last night from a Facebook executive talking about how Facebook was going to essentially continue to put money before people's safety in the social media sphere. And now, mysteriously, Facebook has been down for several hours today. A lot of people will tell you that's probably not a coincidence. I don't have any real news on that, but I did feel that it was important to mention that if you did not know that happened last night, that happened last night. I think it was on 60 Minutes, Lewis. Do you know how what channel it was on?
Yeah, well, it was 60 Minutes, and they exposed just a lot of things about the wealthy once again, right? And where they're hoarding their money. And guess what? It's in South Dakota. For those that are that didn't watch the whole thing. But yeah, a lot of good information. And ironically, boom, Facebook goes down. This multi-billion dollar industry goes down. And I was talking to Robert off air, and I think Ogma, it might be malicious. Who knows?
I hope it's those guys with that mask, those guys anonymous, because they shut stuff down. And just to give Facebook a little, hey, you know what? We heard that report and we're watching you, and look what we can do. We can shut you down. And I bet you, I don't know. I don't think it's a coincidence, Ogama.
Yeah, I'm not sure that I think it's a coincidence either. And I think that it would be good for Zuckerberg to have a little bit of a reminder. You are not immune to tech problems like any of the rest of us. And Lewis was talking about the leaked records, which are now being called the Pandora Papers, have kind of opened a box of Pandora's box of financial secrets. So there's hundreds of world leaders, politicians, billionaires, celebrities, religious leaders, drug dealers, and more that have been hiding investments in mansions, beachfront property, yachts, and all kinds of other assets, basically, for the past quarter century. And that was according to a review of nearly 12 million files obtained from 14 firms around the world. And that's just 14. And this was, this this international consortium of investigative journalists released this report on Sunday, and it took 600 journalists from 150 media outlets in 117 countries to make this happen. So this was something that was probably many years in the making. And I think it's right. I think those the super wealthy really do need to be called out and need to be held accountable for those kinds of things, because when the super wealthy hide money in this way, they're not paying taxes on it. They're contributing to the problems that we're seeing in society right now with COVID-19 and the things that were exacerbated when COVID-19 hit. So I really. There's a little bit of danger, there's a little bit of concern, and there's definitely a lot of wondering whether or not this was on purpose. But that's kind of what happened. That's going to probably be the big thing in the news in the coming weeks.
I think it's on purpose, and I think it's beautiful.
I would be obliged to agree with you if I had. I still don't have enough proof yet. I'm still
just
making.
Don't hack my Facebook. That's all I ask.
You know, it went up seconds before the show, and I'm excited. I'm like, let's get sharing, and then it went back down again. So there
yeah,
we go.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's it is what it is.
We got 4 people watching. That's tremendous.
4 people watching
on
after
YouTube.
A day like today. Woohoo!
It's all
4
on YouTube.
People watching us on Facebook. Welcome. So I do want to talk a little bit, too, about the Stop Line 3. Treaty people have completed their 160-mile walk at the end of the Enbridge Line 3. They just completed it on September 30th, so I'm a little late on the get-go. But they basically, they brought the treaty people walk from the U.S. Capitol. They went from the headwaters of the Mississippi to the U.S. Capitol earlier in September, end of August, I'm sorry. And then now they took it over to Superior, Wisconsin. So Indigenous walkers and non-Native allies have been urging President Biden to follow Article 6 of the Constitution, which says that treaties are the highest law of the land, and to take immediate action to direct the Army Corps of Engineers to cancel Enbridge's permits before oil has flowed. I am hearing mixed reports from those on the ground that there is still pressure tests running on the Enbridge Line 3 pipeline. And I am also seeing reports from other news outlets indicating what Enbridge has said, which is that oil started flowing through the Line 3 on Friday. So I'm not really sure exactly where we're standing with that, which end to believe there. But that's kind of where we're at in Minnesota. I do want to take a quick minute, too, to remind you all that Enbridge does have Line 5, which is currently operating without permits in Wisconsin's National Forest and as well as through the Bad River Indian Reservation. Enbridge's easement to operate on the reservation there expired in 2013, and they have just not shut them down. In 2019, the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa filed suit against Enbridge to force the decommissioning and removal of Line 5, but Enbridge has refused and in response has now charted a new route 42 miles through the Penike Hills above the reservation instead. So the same thing that's happening here in Minnesota is going to happen in Wisconsin on Line 5, and then in Line 5, in Michigan, Enbridge is also operating illegally underneath the Straits of Mackinac. And in November of 2020, Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer and the Michigan Department of Natural Resources terminated the 1953 easement and basically told Enbridge, you're no longer allowed to build and operate in the Straits of Mackinac under the under Lake Superior, one of the Great Lakes. So, yeah, Enbridge is evil. Facebook went down, and there's,
I'm going to Disneyland. No, wait.
We're going. Oh, the Treaty People Gathering, or not the Treaty People Gathering, excuse me. People versus Fossil Fuels Gathering is happening in Washington, D.C. this coming week, October 11th through 15th. There will be actions every day. Sign up on peoplevsversusfossilfuels.com or .org, excuse me. And then as a request from my daughter, I just want to give you a shout out and let you know that I love you very much. She asked me to let her know to give her a shout out on air today. So,
wow. Well, that's the best shout out to give. We love you, Anna. And we're glad your mom is Ogama and she's running the show here. So, hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and Dr. Stately is going to be on a little later today. And how about if you give us a call at 952-946-6205? That's 952-946-6205. Give us a call and ask us what's up. What's up? We'll be right back here for this short break. Stay with us.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Hey, Cudigee, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm here to ask you for your support. Finding honest, Native-centered news is not easy. But with your support, we're able to provide accurate information about Standing Rock, Line 3, treaty violations, and COVID-19 in our Native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Pinigigi, and thank you for your support.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
This is Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm Awake.
We are the Lusa Nation.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahare.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice. Get involved at mn350.org.
Nice raid. Hey, we got Dr. Stately here. He's on a little early, which is awesome because Wendy's on a secret mission out in Brooklyn Park, and she's dealing with, they're trying to close down a pet store down there. So they're talking to the city council, and she's going to give us a live report a little later. So it's perfect that Dr. Stately is on. And Dr. Stately is the CEO at the Native American Community Clinic, and we have him on every Monday to talk about a lot of different things. And what's happening in the community, what's happening medically, the COVID crisis. And then also, I just want to officially wish you a happy belated birthday there. We thought you were joining us, but you're only in that season. So happy belated birthday, Dr. Stately. Oh, we got you on mute. Let's get him on mute. There you are, Dr. Stately.
Oh, Buju, thank you for the birthday wishes. I appreciate it.
I thought you were a lot younger, but I guess that's you're just well preserved. That's awesome.
How does it feel to be in your 40s now?
Now that I'm 39 officially, because 50 is the new 30. So joking. I don't know. I feel the same exact way I felt the day before. So. No significant change. I had a moment where I got a little misty yesterday, but just reflecting on, I got up early actually, which I almost never do on the weekend. I got up early, made some coffee, sat out on the back stoop and looked at the sun coming up and just, thought kind of contemplated my life, I'm officially much older than I thought I would ever be. Like when I was a young man, in my early 20s, I didn't think I was going to make it this long.
We never trusted.
I had no reason to believe that I would. So
we never trusted anyone over 30.
Right, you know? For sure. But also, like, you know, I mean, I don't know. Back when we were young, Robert, like, you know, Native men didn't live to be our age, generally speaking. You know, so.
Yeah, that's why I'm an elder and I'm only 60, and I feel like I'm, you know, mm-hmm. I feel like I'm in my, mm-hmm. I really feel like I'm in my 40s, but
yeah.
But
do you, so people call me that all the time, and I'm always wondering, like, so do you like feel like an elder? You mean, I always feel like I'm like I don't deserve that sort of title because I haven't really lived all that long. And
I don't,
I always think of elders as being much older and having much more wisdom than I do, so.
Yeah, I don't feel like I'm an elder. I either say I'm a junior elder, which makes the elders laugh, mm-hmm. or a emo elder, you know. But I never say I'm a full-fledged at 60, even though that's kind of the breakdown. Because, like you said, Dr. Stately, a lot of people when we were young didn't live as old as we are right now. And
yeah,
you know, that, well, you know, when you were talking, it made me reflect just a little bit and reflect upon. When I have a sobriety birthday or mm-hmm. a belly button birthday, as they call it in sobriety, it's I get kind of sad because I miss some people that are gone. You know,
yeah,
I kinda,
for sure, for sure. That way.
We had a unbelievable person just pass in our community. Emmett passed. I heard last night.
Yeah, that was sad news for sure. Absolutely, and a tremendous loss to our community. Prayers for his family for sure. So
definitely. So
reminds you how temporary life is, right?
It really is. And a good friend of mine who I've been friends with a million years, he's 11 years older than me, and he said, Robert, the next, you thought 50 to 60 went fast, 60 to 70 goes really fast. And I went, oh, I didn't really need to hear that today, but thank you.
Jeez. I guess they mean there's a figurative and a literal meaning to, like, the downhill slide, right? Like, you hit the top of the hill and it's like, watch out for the ski slopes and the trees.
Right. Yeah. Oh, we could have a whole show on that, but. So what's cooking here? I mean, I hear a lot of people getting their third shot. I can't wait to get my third shot. I'm waiting for mm-hmm. Moderna mm-hmm. to give the okay. And I don't know. Yeah. I'm excited.
I think we're a couple weeks out probably for Moderna still. I know that they have submitted, I believe, or they were going to submit this week, their data to the CDC, or not to the CDC, to the FDA. Mm-hmm. And it's expected that that will happen. I mean, I think lots of people are like anxiously, like literally kind of like I am right now, on the edge of my seat waiting for, you know, the vaccine to be approved for kids, you know, one or five and above, or at least one and above, right? Like everybody in the, you know, I just was watching the news earlier and they're talking about, like, you know, mixed messaging around whether or not it's safe to go trick or treating or not, and kind of like, yeah. And how to celebrate your holidays. Like we have a lot of holidays coming up, like, you know, mm-hmm. you know, our country, we're holiday rich in the fall and the winter, yeah. of this nation, like, they like to party before it gets cold, I guess. The point being is, you know, everybody's anxious about that. They want to spend time with their families, and who doesn't want to do that, right? So mm-hmm. I think I'm hoping that vaccine gets approved very rapidly, because I certainly would be very more confident if I had young children under the age of 12. I would feel a lot more confident letting them go out and sort of be about with other people and be within, you know, arm's length of, you know, I don't know. Has the FDA not seen 5-year-olds trying to get candy at a you know, at a trick or treat house? And they're like, you know, they don't stay 6 feet away from each other. They're like clamoring for candy.
Their arms are a little 2 feet long. Lewis, did you have a question for
Dr. Yeah, yeah. Just on that point, I remember my son, when he was 5, he'd stick his whole hand in his mouth mm-hmm. and then dig in the candy and then wipe it all. It's like, my God.
Yeah.
So yeah, please pass the Pfizer thing, because I'm sure there's a lot of parents out there with kids the same way.
Yeah, right.
You know, but I was going to ask you, actually, you know, I went to South Dakota back home. It's funny, back home. I left there in 86. I don't know. You know, we're kind of like two people, right? Like back home is there, but yet I've been here. And what I've noticed is, you know, I had to go to Walmart out there and all these other places, and they've never had a mask mandate. They've never had any of those type of protections. And I just want to remind our audience that one border state away, legislators could literally be that type of, it could be that irresponsible. Christy, I'll be talking about her later today, but that Christy Noem just did not take any precautions. You got people walking around without masks, and you walk there with a mask on, people look at you like you're a weirdo, right?
Mm-hmm, but again, you're from another planet.
Exactly. And I was wondering, you know, with everything going on, I mean, do you think any, just looking at them, like, man, I just feel bad for the kids and older folks. Is there anything federally that can be done, you know, mandating masks or anything like that with these goofy governors that don't want to do it?
Well, you know, I mean, Biden's administration has issued mask mandates, federal mask mandates for certain things. Like, you know, the federal government really only has, like, you know, I don't know how many of us, myself included, I only happen to know this guy, I had to bone up on it recently, we're awake and paid attention during civics class when you sort of kind of learn the different branches of government and what they can, what the limits of their powers are and stuff. But the federal government can only really issue mask mandates that can kind of cover federal reach. States have lots of power, right? Quite frankly, right? So you get somebody like Christy Noem in there and that sort of like doesn't really have, you know, I mean, I shouldn't say a whole lot of mean things about her, but she doesn't certainly seem to have a care or a whim to protect people who are much more vulnerable than herself. And they can really do some significant damage because governors do have lots of control over certain parts of their sort of like the governance of their state. So federal governments can only really issue mandates for like federal organizations and federal entities. They can only issue it for like, you know, the reason that certain things exist for like the, for instance, for flying on an airplane is because the federal government, you know, governs the FAA and air travel. So, you know, if you want to go someplace by air, you got to sort of kind of follow that mandate. Anyway, the point being is that, you know, it is really tragic and it's very, very sad that, like, you know, people don't think about how vulnerable young people are. Like, you can look at the data across the, like, I tell people this all the time, just Google, like, the CDC COVID tracker on Google, and you can pull up the map and you can see, like, the United States is still quite red in many, many areas, if not completely. There's a few places that are orange, which means it's kind of come down a little bit in terms of community spread. But, you know, that makes our young people very vulnerable, tremendously vulnerable. They have no protection, really. And have you seen many kids be successful keeping a mask on? Like, they're just not doing a great job of it, right? And why should they? They have, you know, short attention spans and all kinds of other things, right? So it really is our requirement as adults and the people who, you know, are the generation ahead of them or even two like myself to make sure that we're doing what we need to do to protect them, right? Keep them safe. Definitely.
Dr. Stately, do you have can you be with us for another segment, please?
Sure. Sure.
Well, I kind of begged on that. Did you hear me? I was begging.
Yeah.
That's a good way, though. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we're here with the crew. We're missing Wendy. She's going to give us a call a little later. We're with Dr. Stately, CEO of Native, at the Native American Community Clinic, and we're having a little chat here about COVID and things. Stay with us. This is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac. the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a 5-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me one. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
Join Quorum as they celebrate their 28th annual National Coming Out Day Luncheon, presented by U.S. Bank. This inspirational and transformational luncheon gives voice to the power of living openly, honestly, and with authenticity at work, in our families, in our faith communities, and across our lives. The realities of living an authentic life are deeper than coming out. We all have many layers of identity, and we must work together to create a world where people can bring their whole self to everything they do. The National Coming Out Day Luncheon serves as a celebration of who we are individually and together. Reserve your tickets today for Friday, October 8th. The National Coming Out Day Luncheon will be at Target Field, One Twins Way in Minneapolis. The Marketplace Expo opens at 10 a.m. and the luncheon will begin at 11:45. Tickets are available to members for $50 or non-members for $60. Learn more and purchase your tickets at TwinCitiesQuorum.com. That's Twin Cities, Quorum.com.
Ryan here with locally owned Snap Construction. Hey. Too much snapping. I have an important message. Roofing, siding, insulation, and window material rates have come down considerably. Production is up. Best of all, there's still time to lock in one of the many great city, state, and federal home fix-up loans with rates as low as 0%. Some cities are even offering no repayment until you sell or refi. We don't expect these programs to last much longer. Snap to it and set up your no-obligation inspection quote for your roofing, siding, windows, or insulation job today. Your Snap Construction remodel expert can lay out all the options for your roofing, siding, window, insulation project, along with all rebates, incentives, and federal, state, and city financing programs that you qualify for. Call Snap Construction today, home of the Lifetime Craftsmanship Warranty. For over the last decade, we are arguably the most well-reviewed roofing, siding, window, insulation contractor in the Twin Cities. Don't take our word for it. Google us. Snapconstruction.com, 612-333-SNAP.
Mornings can be tough. Unless, of course, you're listening to The Stephanie Miller Show every weekday morning from 8 to 11 on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Now, more than ever, we are being faced daily with the topic of human mortality. And for many people, estate planning has been top of mind. Getting your estate planning done now can be easy and cost-effective. Shroman Law offers virtual options for initial consultations so that new clients can safely initiate the process. With many facing uncertain financial situations, Shroman Law also offers affordable fees for legal documents. Learn more at ShromanLaw.com. That's ShromenLaw.com.
My grandpa Jim Warner treated his customers like family. Warner Stellion is still doing that today. I'm Angela Warner, and to thank you for 67 years, Warner Stellion is offering unbeatable savings on thousands of in-stock appliances, free delivery, and 2 years special financing to qualified buyers. Plus, go to WarnerStellion.com for a $50 coupon you won't find anywhere else. These deals end October 13th, so visit us in-store or online soon. You'll love your new appliances and Warner Stellion.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for clear skies overnight with a low around 53, Tuesday sunny with a high near 71, and Wednesday sunny with a high around 72. Check out the award-winning Hazel's Northeast for a delicious meal any time of the day. They have some of the most creatively prepared comfort food you'll find. And Hazel's is now open Tuesdays through Saturdays from 8 to 8 with a Sunday brunch from 8 until 2. Located off 29th and Johnson in Minneapolis and at hazelsnetogo.com.
Bijou. I am Oshawashko Gijig. I'm from Red Lake Nation, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Love it. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and that's Ogama's little girl, Anna, who just said that. That's always puts a smile on my face when I hear her say that. So it's such a it's just beautiful. I'm mumbling here, but it's just beautiful. Hey, we're here with Dr. Stately, and Dr. Stately is the CEO at the Native American Community Clinic. And Dr. Stately, I don't know if you listened to us in the beginning of the show, but we're going to be probably running out on Monday. Next Monday, we'll be in Washington, D.C., and probably staying at the same hotel as Dallas, so we can maybe do a little live read if you got a script ready for him. That would be really fun. Nice.
Yeah, we can work on that for sure.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. But hey, we should go back to the radio show instead of talking about our personal stuff. But it's great to have
it's
you.
It's actually
on.
Work. We're talking
yeah,
about
that's
the
true. Oh, wait, Ogama has her hand up.
I would just like to remind everybody that this portion of the show is brought to you by Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition, so thanking them for their sponsorship of us.
Wow, thank you so much, Ogama. I just lost my mind for a little bit there. Wendy's not here, so I'm rudderless. Thank goodness you guys are here. Dr. Stately, so you'd say maybe a couple weeks until... Moderna's okayed for people like myself that have done Moderna. Are people crossing over to Pfizer that have taken Moderna or Johnson? Have you heard?
That isn't a recommendation right now. I think, in fact, actually, they're telling people not to do it. There's no scientific sort of evidence that suggests that that would be necessarily a good thing or safe. So, you know, like, we try to follow good science. We try to follow, you know, it's kind of like it's not like, you know, it's not like the Moderna and Pfizer are two different kinds of, you know, it's not like mixing Starbucks and Caribou and having still a decent cup of coffee, kind of, so to speak. It's a little bit more complex and different than that. So I think what I would tell people is, like, you know, not to expect that that's going to be a reasonable request. But I would say that probably is, you know, I know that, you know, Moderna is submitting or has submitted recently data on their third shot. There's conversation right now suggesting that the evidence or the data seems to suggest that Moderna and its ability to hold up over time and perform better is outperforms Pfizer, so that there might not need to be a third shot for Moderna. And there's some... there was a news bit out that was that I recently seen that talked about Moderna submitting requests for half shots, so third half shots, like just a little tiny booster, so to speak. So all that stuff is sort of kind of in the mill right now, and I think that our hope is that certainly emergency approval, if not full approval, for kids one and above or five and above will happen before the end of the month, which would be awesome. I know that there will be lots of people who would really like to see that happen, because they want to make sure that their children can be safe in school and in other public settings, like, the haunted hayride.
Yeah.
Things they want to do, right?
You know, I have a quick question for you too, Dr. Stately. Mm-hmm. I read something recently that said some doctors were giving the COVID-19 vaccine to children younger than 12 under, like, an off-label use option. Have you heard any, like, places or anybody taking those kinds of, risks, I guess, as doctors in the Minnesota area?
Yeah.
I mean, I would assume that would have been out in California or something.
Yeah. Well, you know, California is another world. They kind of do whatever the hell they want out in California.
That's right.
So to speak.
That's right.
But, I know. I used to live there. I lived there for 18 years. Those are my Footloose and Fancy Free years. Anyway, the point being is, I wouldn't suggest that happen. Like, anybody really do that. There's all kinds of things that can happen as a result of that. Let's say, like, you're a doctor practicing under your own license, or even if you're like a doctor that practices under the license of an agency or a clinic like mine, and you sort of kind of go rogue and do your own thing, you're jeopardizing your own license, but you're actually jeopardizing the license and the ability for a clinic to function, right? So you harm yourself, you harm another person, you harm a whole community if you, like, take out a clinic, right, and have a clinic closed down. So I wouldn't suggest that people do that, and it's not something that is highly recommended, right? Like, we really want to wait until we have concrete evidence that it's safe and that it's something that is okay to do with kids under the age of 18. The federal government, the National Institutes of Health, and all of the sort of, like, the federal agencies have much more stringent requirements for ensuring that something is safe with children under the age of 18. And that's consistent with, like, the law, the, you know, the you know, the Nuremberg laws and all the other things that have resulted from Geneva Conventions, right? The practice and the protection of vulnerable human subjects, and children are certainly vulnerable, right? They're at the beck and call and the wanton sort of desires of parents and other adults.
Yeah. Hey, so I had a really good friend. Matter of fact, I work with her. She's another legislator who had Moderna and got COVID. She let her guard down and said, she said only for a couple hours, and she was at some casino and she was drinking sodas, so she had her mask down a lot, and she was really, really sick for one day, and then it just got better and better each day, and now I think she's fully recovered after 4 days. But you know, and she knows, because she had Moderna both times, that she could have been a lot worse than that. And I think that's a thing that we have to bring up too, Dr. Stately.
Yeah, for sure. Like breakthrough cases with people who are vaccinated does happen. It happens at a substantially lower rate than infection for people who are not vaccinated, like less than 1% or something like that, or less than 4%. Of folks who've been vaccinated have had a breakthrough case. And I think that's a really important thing for us to remember. Also, the evidence seems to suggest that consistently, time over time, that people who are vaccinated, if they should get acquire the coronavirus, and at this point, you know, the Delta variant is the really virulent strain. It's pretty much 99.9% of what everybody is getting in this country at this point in time. That's how high, how rapidly it spread. Can make you feel very ill and has more ability to break through, but it is not significantly greater than other strains as well. Actually, it's still significantly lower than, and the impact is much less great than people who are unvaccinated. By and large, you can look at the data on the CDC's website and on Johns Hopkins' website, because they track it from across the world. The majority of people, upwards of 70, 80, 90% of people in some jurisdictions, depending on location and how much community spread there is, the majority of the people getting sick, getting hospitalized, and dying are people who are unvaccinated. I mean, the evidence is just crystal clear.
Yeah. Hey, so one of the things too, I was hiding for a year and a half, Dr. Stately, because of COVID, teaching out of teaching in school and doing the radio show from home. And one of the things I really want to get on again is get my flu shot again, because I didn't see anybody for a long time. So the flu was way down, but that can be a killer too if we don't take care of that.
Yeah, and I think that's an unintended consequence of people sort of kind of relaxing their behaviors around masking and social distancing. Last year, we didn't see hardly any flu at all because, you know, we were in the middle of this thing, this big battle, and people were sort of doing a much better job of distancing and masking. And this year, with everybody going back into schools and lots of people my kid comes home every day and says, like, you know, there's 9 people in my classroom hacking and coughing and sneezing and da, da, da. And it's like, so I know that like flu is likely to make a big surge here. The state, the health department and health departments all across the country are gearing up for a bounce back of flu, like a more, you know, we're not going to see the flu sort of kind of laying dormant like we did last year. We're likely to see large numbers of flu cases. And the other reason you want to get vaccinated in this kind of conversation where you're like, you know, you're having like the symptoms for flu and the symptoms for coronavirus are quite similar, right? And so you end up in the hospital, or you end up going to the hospital, you put a greater strain on a healthcare system that is already significantly strained beyond capacity for many places. You know, so many places don't have enough healthcare workers to staff their emergency rooms or their ICU beds and those kinds of things. And anything that we can do to sort of kind of prevent more strain on the healthcare system is a good thing. So if we can, you know, get our vaccine, if we can, you know, social distance and mask because it makes sense for other conditions, do that, right? Everybody will be happier and everybody will be healthier in that sort of situation.
For those that may want to know, doctor, could you get your flu shot and your COVID-19 shot at the same time?
Yes, you can.
Great question.
Yeah.
Great question. Hey, we got only a minute and a half, and Wendy's on the line. Do you want to stay on and howl with us, Dr. Stately, or do you got to fly?
Absolutely, I want to howl.
All right, and then we'll talk to Wendy, and we'll howl a little, and Lewis has got a little piece for us, too, and so it's exciting. But I just want to say one thing before we go to break is that Wendy kind of explained it to me, and if you guys don't know this about Wendy, she's a pharmacist, a MTM pharmacist who's been retired for a year, but she explained the flu shot to me because for years I didn't get it. I don't know why, but I just didn't. But she said it might only be a percentage of the flu that's happening right now, but it's building up immunity to possible other flu forms of flu, and so that made sense that it's almost putting money in the bank, right, Dr. Stately?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I get a flu shot every year, and I have for like the last 20 years or so, because I've been living with HIV since like 1992, so it's kind of like a recommended thing now. And yeah, like I have not gotten sick with the flu in, you know, a decade and a half easily. Like I've not had the flu.
That's you know, great. And I just have to say, we got like 10 seconds before we leave. Dr. Stately, with these conversations, I've known we've walked and talked to people in the community that have said they've changed their behavior and their attitudes. And I just want to say thank you for this segment every Monday, really. You're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. And up next, Wendy Pilot with a check-in. We'll be right back.
I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why Native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, you're not alone. Stronghearts Native Helpline can help you through these difficult and uncertain times. Stronghearts Helpline is a free 24/7 confidential domestic dating and sexual violence helpline for Native Americans. Help is available by calling 1-844-762-8483 or by clicking on the chat now icon on strongheartshelpline.org. This message is sponsored by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations. We need Wendy to really have a good howl. Like, Wendy, where are you on the line?
I'm kind of ashamed of that.
That was a downer. Is this taped or is this live? Wait, I have my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy, on the line. And Wendy, you want to just check in and tell us what's been going on and what you've been doing here?
Yeah, hi, everybody. Thanks for taking my call.
I'm actually in Blaine right now. I'm at the City Hall, and they had a City Hall workshop meeting tonight that I attended. And the reason why I did was because a humane pet store ordinance is in the works. And as you all know, I've talked about these humane pet store ordinances, and this is where a city can ban the sale of cats and dogs that were originated from puppy mills to be sold in their stores. So what we've done so far is gotten Eden Prairie, Roseville, St. Paul, Carver, and Cloquet to adopt this humane pet store ordinance in these cities, and we're trying to get Blaine to do the same. They have a notorious pet store here in Blaine, which sources their cats and dogs from puppy mills and kitten mills. And as you all know, these puppy mills are where dogs and cats stay in very confined areas, and their cages are stacked on top of each other, and the dogs never leave the cage, and they don't get very good veterinary care, so on and so forth. So we're trying to get Blaine to adopt this humane pet store ordinance. And I have to say, after hearing the city council members in the workshop tonight, I have to say that I'm very, very disappointed in the city council members in Blaine, because they don't get it. They don't get that this is an, you know, inhumane way to keep dogs and cats. And the meeting didn't go very well tonight, but we're not giving up hope, and we're going to keep trying. And if there's anyone out there who lives in Blaine and who has a friend in Blaine, please, please have them call their city council members, and please ask them to adopt a humane pet store ordinance in the city here of Blaine, because we really need this to pass here. But we're still going to work on it, and we're not giving up.
Well, thanks, Wendy, for the update, and thank you for Pini Gigi for going out there and dealing with our sacred animals in that way. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, so, thanks a lot, and great show. I heard a little bit about it, and thanks, as always, Dr. Stately, for coming on and explaining things. It really makes so much more sense when you do it.
Wow, thanks, Wendy.
I appreciate it. Thanks for doing what you're doing. Mm-hmm. That's important work, too.
All right, I'm coming home. I'll be home in a little while.
Keep your eyes on the road, your hands upon the wheel. The future's
I think there's a song.
Always near. Let it roll, okay. Baby. Okay,
Jim Morrison on Native Roots Radio.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Wow, that was Wendy Pilot, animal advocate, and she does our sacred animal section every day, and she's married to one of the coolest people I know. That is me. Hey, <Yeah. laughs> thanks, Wen. So, hey, great to still have Dr. Stately on here, and I know I wanted to talk a little bit to Lewis. Lewis has a little update, and feel free to chime in, Dr. Stately. We're just doing a roundtable right here, right now, and Lewis has a little teeny bit of news here.
Yeah, for all of us in the Native Roots Radio family here, Chicago, Madison, here in the Twin Cities, we can't forget other indigenous communities as well. One of them, of course, is a hotbed of activity like South Dakota. That's where I'm from. I'm Lakota. I'm a citizen of the Sechangu, Lakota, Oyate, the Rosebud Sioux Tribe. And today, Christy Noem put in a petition for the 2022 Mount Rushmore Fireworks Celebration. The application was submitted to the National Park Service to light fireworks off the heads of Mount Rushmore. She is quoted as saying, there's truly no better place to celebrate America's birthday than Mount Rushmore, our nation's enduring shrine to democracy. Let me give you a little bit of history here. So Mount Rushmore was built on federal funding as well as private funding. And it was built on something called Shakpe Tunkashila. Shakpe Tunkashila is a very sacred mountain in the Black Hills to the Lakota people on what we call Lakota Makoche, which is Lakota land. They purposely desecrated a sacred spot for our medicine men called Six Grandfathers, Shakpe Tunkashila, to build Mount Rushmore. They did this purposefully to show the Lakota that we own the Black Hills, that we're going to put these white men on your basic church and let everyone know. So this is equivalent to the Basilica in Minneapolis being torn down, blown up, and then someone putting something on top of it and reminding you that they're the one that destroyed it. That's exactly what they did to the six grandfathers, Shakpe Tunkashi. This is desecration. And it's never been endorsed by any American Indians, indigenous activists ever. And Kristi Noem has had an antagonistic relationship with the indigenous community up to 2020, if you guys remember that, with Trump going there and our brother Nick Kilson with the Indian Collective stopping them in their tracks, trying to raise awareness that we are still here. We are still active. And this type of petition is so gross when you consider the epidemic of missing and murdered indigenous women in South Dakota. 109, I think over like 98% are indigenous women that are missing in a state that were represented by 6-8% of the population only. Our mask mandates, you got COVID-19 running loose in that state. You have her endorsing the Sturgis rally, which is a big sex trafficking ring affecting indigenous people. This is right across the border, family. Right across the border from this state. And this type of antagonistic relationship from the government to indigenous people is still happening. We need people to get involved. Write to your legislature. Say, you know what? The National Park Service should literally refute this and say, you know what? We're not going to light fireworks that also pose environmental damage, increase risk of forest fires in that area as well. This is complete irresponsibility. And I just wanted to get that out there, Robert. Thank you for allowing me to speak on that.
No, and Lewis can be also seen on TikTok. TikTok, he's the Lakota guy, that Lakota guy, and really has a lot of good historic stuff up there, similar to his to what he was talking about today. So we really appreciate you being on Native Roots Radio and speaking your truth. We only got a couple minutes left here, but it's been a great show, Dr. Stately. You know, it's just so important that I feel like people like you, Lewis, and Ogama with the News are on the show and bring out what we need as people, but also our allies to understand, like that story, Dr. Stately, that Lewis just said.
You know, I spent the majority of my career personally and professionally over the last 20, 30 years sort of kind of lecturing and training and talking about the impact of historical trauma, but also the impact of things that are contemporary sort of experiences of trauma. When we have these kinds of things happening in our communities, and we have government sponsored and government directed activities that are designed to desecrate our sacred spaces, limit our freedoms, kind of, you know, make us more vulnerable as people to be able to do things like, you know, prosper and live healthy and productive lives. And pass things on to our children. These are active forms of genocide, right? And these are things that are showing up in our communities every single day. Like, you know, so when we talk about resistance, this is what we're talking about. We're talking about, like, you know, telling the truth about what is going on in these corners and pockets of the world that sort of limit our freedoms as Native people, Indigenous people.
Well said, Dr. Stately. Thank you for hanging on with us. I would like to end with these thoughts. If you're listening to this show, you are part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. We need to resist, divest, join a group for one, or run for office. Pini Gigi to Dr. Stately, Wendy, Ogama, and of course, Lewis. We're still here. We are the seventh generation. Free Leonard Peltier. Stop Line 3. Enbridge stinks.